This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. With another 60 minutes of old-time radio, this is the Relic Radio Show. Welcome back. Thanks for joining me again this Tuesday. You'll hear first this week from I Love Adventure, an episode titled The Man with the Third Green Eye. This one aired June 13th, 1948, and it's Believe It or Not with Vote Getter. We'll finish off with Stars Over Hollywood, an episode from April 16th, 1949, titled Dead on Arrival.
The American Broadcasting Company presents I Love Adventure. Incident number 8, The Man with the Third Green Eye, a new Carlton E. Morse production featuring Jack, Doc, and Reggie. O'clock in the afternoon in the A1 Detective Agency just off Hollywood Boulevard. The cutest secretary in Hollywood, Mary Kay Jones, was down at the corner drugstore having a Coke. Doc was still out on the firebug case, and Reggie was someplace around. Jack alone was in the office when a well-dressed man came in, laid credentials on his desk, and made the following proposition.
I'm representing a certain branch of the Federation of Free Nations, which will pay you $1,000 now and $4,000 more later if you will undertake the job of recovering a stolen 4-cent centennial stamp.
Federation of Free Nations?
Didn't you do some work for a group of 21 old men at 10 Gramercy Park, London?
What about it?
You didn't know they were an arm of the Federation of Free Nations?
21 old men sent you out here to Hollywood to see me?
No. But if you will cooperate, you will be doing an important job for them.
Let's hear more.
About my connection with the 21 old men?
No, about this 4-cent stamp.
Well, on the back of the stamp is a map showing the location of a priceless outcropping of carnotite, ore of uranium, somewhere in the Philippines. The man who found the ore and drew the map has been murdered. The stamp, which had been put on a letter directed to the Federation's Department of Science, has vanished.
If the map on the back of the stamp falls into the hands of the wrong people...
We can forget about peace, security, international harmony. Personally, I'm taking myself and my family to the high hills before civilization blows up.
Oh, that important, huh?
That important.
Why do you come to me if the 21 old men didn't send you?
I have two clues, one of which concerns you.
Oh?
The first bit of information says the stamp is right now someplace on the Pacific coast. It'll be offered for sale in San Francisco.
Oh, how soon?
Well, that's not definite. Right away, we think. The stamp seems to be in possession of someone identified only as the man with the third green eye.
Well, it shouldn't be hard to pick up the trail of a three-eyed man. Anything else?
Ever see a man with three eyes?
No.
Do you ever hear of a man with three eyes?
No.
Neither have I.
You think it's a gag?
I don't know.
Huh. What else you got?
One thing more. I received a phone call early today, and the voice said he had some important information that I could use, but he didn't trust me.
Yeah?
He said if I put you and either Mr. York or Mr. Long on the case and give you $500 to be paid to him aboard the Lark out of Los Angeles tonight, he'd come out with the information.
I see.
Here's the $500 for him, and here's the $1,000 down payment for you.
Check. We'll be on the Lark headed for San Francisco. My favorite city, San Francisco.
Jack, where is that belly compartment of ours anyway?
Must be in one of these cars, Reggie. We'd have had plenty of time to find it before the train pulled out of Los Angeles if you hadn't been so late.
I know, Jack, but you look so beautiful. That isn't just that ruddy veil off her face.
Yeah, they usually do. Maybe this car coming up is the one.
Right, huh? This is our car, isn't it? You have the tickets.
This is it, all right. Compartment 9, 8. Here's ours, 7. Well, hello.
Hello, we have company. And a good deal of it, too.
Come in, gentlemen, come in. My bulk is considerable, I admit, but there is still room for all of us.
Hey, this is a private compartment, mister, or didn't you know?
Oh, yes. Yes, I was quite aware of that, Mr. Packard.
Say, Jack, your identification must be showing.
Allow me to explain, gentlemen. My name is Dimitro Touros, but that is not important.
What is important, Touros?
The fact, Mr. Packard, that I am a philatelist.
I say, bloody old stamp collector.
Precisely, Mr. York. A ruddy old stamp collector. So you see, gentlemen, our interests are the same.
Then you're the chap we were to meet.
All right, save it, Reggie. He can tell us who he is.
No, quite. Sorry, Jack.
No harm done, Mr. York. My identification is of minor import. The reason for my being here is, of course, the 4-cent centennial stamp and the man with the third green eye.
Yeah, just what and who is he, Torres?
Then you do not know, Mr. Parker.
Would I ask you if I did?
It would be conceivable, sir, if you still had doubts as to my identity.
Well, don't be shocked, Torres, but I have.
Mr. Packard, you delight me, sir, delight me. It's refreshing to meet one with such candor.
You know, you're having a great deal of difficulty getting around that bush you're beating.
Yeah, but I had no intention of getting around, Mr. York. At least not at this first meeting. I have here in my inside pocket a little...
All right, hold it, Torres.
You know, Mr. Packard, that looks suspiciously like a gun you have in your hand.
Yeah, doesn't it? Reggie.
Yes, sir.
Speaking of guns, you better reach inside our fat friend's coat and get the one he was about to pull.
Righto. Hope you're not ticklish, little boy.
What's the matter?
I'm sorry to disappoint you, Jack, but no arsenal.
No gun?
Not even a cap pistol. Mr. Touros was either going to merely scratch himself or was reaching for this card case.
As a matter of fact, that is precisely what I was after. Please help yourself to one of my cards.
Take one, Reggie, and give him back the case.
Righto. Here you are.
Thank you, sir. I trust you will visit me one day soon at my home in San Francisco.
Must you go?
I'm afraid so. Thank you again, gentlemen, for a very interesting evening. I am certain our next one will be equally so. Good day. Good day.
How about that?
Say, what do you think his purpose was? Why make such an abrupt departure?
That was an expensive suit he was wearing. Bloodstains are hard to remove.
Oh, I see. Now, you wouldn't really have shot him.
He knew that. It was the blood seeping out from under that seat that bothered him.
From under... Jove, you're right. Blood.
There's luggage space under that seat, Reggie.
Let's take a look. I say.
That's what I thought.
Poor beggar's crumpled up like a blinking pretzel. Wasn't a very sporting duffer who did him in. Knife in the back. What do you suppose it is?
The man we were expecting to meet.
What, the green-eyed chap?
No, look at that tattoo on his forearm.
What? Say, Jack, it's a replica of a 4-cent stamp.
A 4-cent centennial stamp tattooed on his forearm.
And he was our contact and not Touros. And we let the fat boy go.
Don't worry, he can't get off the train. But this means whoever we're after in San Francisco is onto us. We can't let anything hold us up now or that stamp will be gone.
May we come in, gentlemen?
Hello, what's this?
Jeff, looks like a blimmin' train robbery.
That's not quite correct. I'm Lieutenant Hudson of the State Police. The two men in the corridor with their weapons drawn are my deputies. Don't attempt any resistance, please.
I wouldn't think of it, Lieutenant, but what's your interest in us?
The corpse under that seat makes my answer superfluous. I'm placing you both under arrest for murder. Raise your hands, please.
Oh, come now, that's a bit thick, old boy.
Raise your hands, please.
Oh, but look here.
All right, raise them, Reggie.
But, Jack...
Don't argue with a gun shoved in your teeth. It's easier to give a man enough rope to pull and... He won't hang himself.
All right, Jack, but you've got that twisted a bit, haven't you? It's not pulling a rope, it... Oh, quite. You mean like this one right here?
That's the emergency cord, you fool. Don't pull it. Don't pull it.
Good work, Reggie. I'll lock out the other...
Hey. That lieutenant banged his head. He's knocked out.
Good. Let's hope he stays that way.
Yeah.
You know, emergency cords are wonderful things at times.
We haven't got time to fool around with a murder charge now.
Then might I advise leaving hurriedly via the windows? Lieutenant's men are still out in the corridor, you know. Listen to the beggars. You'd almost think they were upset about something.
Okay, Reggie, let's go.
Right. Imagine all this trouble for a 4-cent stamp.
Ah, lovely city, San Francisco, despite the trouble we had getting here. But I must confess I don't feel a jot closer to that stamp, nor the blighter with the extraneous green orb.
That's why we're paying a little visit to our fat friend, Taurus. He's the only lead we got.
This the address?
Yeah, looks like it. There you are. Keep the change.
Thanks a lot, pal.
Give it a thought. Let's see. A plump partridge does himself well in living abodes. Looks like a miniature Taj Mahal.
Being a stamp collector seems to pay off, huh? Let's ask him how he does it. Try again.
Sorry, Jack. He's either extremely bashful or not at home.
Now what? Well, we still go in.
Uh-oh, we bought our skeleton keys, did we?
Yeah. Standard A1 detective agency equipment. One of these should do it.
Wonderful invention, keys. Not nearly as messy as a crowbar.
Nowhere. Looks like a den or a library there on the right. Let's try it.
Joe, the place is darker than Lieutenant Hudson's heart.
There'd be a lamp somewhere. Yeah, here's one.
I see. It's a bit of all right. Egyptian palace sort of thing. Didn't know San Francisco sported a mansion like this. Here and that painting over there. Well.
Yeah, he looked like the type who'd go in for dancing girls.
With one like that around, who wouldn't? I say, you don't suppose the original would be around anywhere on the
place? Let's concentrate on stamps right now, Reggie. Starting with that desk. Looks like an album on it.
Yeah, what an album. Two of Moroccan leather inlaid with gems. You'd hardly think these colored bits of paper inside were worth that kind of setting.
There's one 4-cent stamp I can think of is worth a few million.
It would...
Hold it, Reggie. Look at that page.
Say nothing on it but 4-cent stamps. But you don't suppose that...
Let's check them carefully, Reggie. You never can tell.
Right, Jack. We'll check them carefully. Never fear.
Watch the backs. That's where the map's supposed to be.
Say, I can't... Can't see the belly things too clearly.
Hey, well, what's wrong, Reggie? You're weaving on your feet.
Get a heavy-eyed, sleepy. Look, Jeff, the lamp, smoke. Smoke's coming up from it.
Reggie, we gotta get out of here. We're being drugged.
Sure, Jack. We'll get out. All right. We'll get...
Reggie, get up. That lamp, drugs coming from the lamp. Gotta turn it out.
So, Mr. Packard, you are regaining consciousness at last.
Yeah, it looks as though... Hey, wait a minute. Who are you?
My name is Erdre. Does it mean anything to you?
Erdre? No, but your face does. That picture on the wall, the dancing girl.
I am flattered that you recognize me, senor.
It wasn't too tough. Reggie, where is he?
Still sleeping comfortably in the cabin next to this one.
So we are aboard ship.
Yes, the Abdullah Bay, anchored well out in San Francisco Harbor.
How about that? You mind briefing me on the fast switch of locale?
The answer is simple. You were drugged by a form of hashish that was spread on the bulb of that lamp.
So that's it. When the lamp was turned on, the heat activated the drug and we went out cold under its fumes.
When you were unconscious, I had you removed and brought here to my husband's yacht.
Husband?
You have already met him. The Metro Todo.
But you're a Spanish girl. Tourist is... You know, you don't make much sense, baby. How about a few answers to why?
Is it so difficult to fathom, senor? We are all after the same thing. The four-penny stamp.
Yeah, but something about all this doesn't gel. Are you working with your husband or against him?
The metro is a pig. Does that answer you?
It gives me a general idea, yeah.
Then I will give you some particular ones. On the San Francisco waterfront, near the Embarcadero, is a nightclub called the Rusty Sword. You have heard of it. Once, it was called the Curved Sword of Heaven.
Now it's a Rusty Sword, yeah, I know it. A real dive in the worst sense of the word.
That is right. I know. I danced there.
For a guy who can afford his own yacht, Dimitro's got funny ideas about his wife's occupation.
He has many funny ideas. But what I wish to tell you is this. Tonight, in the Rusty Sword, you may find the man with the third green eye.
You're being pretty generous with information. Again, I'm asking why.
I am giving you an opportunity to get that stamp. In return, I ask only your word that if you succeed, you will come back here to the yacht with it. So I may be certain that it has not fallen into the metro's hands.
You know, Audrey, that sounds like a setup for a great big juicy double cross.
You're quite right. It could be one.
Then why should I go for it?
I have heard that there are two men wanted for a murder committed aboard the night train from Los Angeles. A certain Lieutenant Hudson might be interested as to their present whereabouts.
Come to think of it, he might be.
Well, Senor Packard, would you care to borrow a speedboat?
You better keep the riding lights burning tonight, Edra. You may have visitors with a 4-cent stamp.
If that isn't just my blasted luck. I mean to say, I didn't even get a single gander at the beauteous damsel.
Well, don't feel too bad about it, Reggie. I got a hunch you might see her later, maybe dancing at the Rusty Sword.
Now, you realize, of course, that all this might turn out to be a deliciously baited trap.
Could be.
But just be a good fellow, will you?
Meaning what, Reggie?
Well, at least be decent enough to introduce me to the fair lady before we get our throats cut. Say, Jack, looks as though every cutthroat in the four corners of the globe's here tonight.
You high-class ones, too. I've been watching them trickle through that rear door behind stage.
What do you suppose goes on back there?
Well, if something doesn't break pretty soon, we'll wander back and have a look.
Colorful. Bit of dress and decoration right out of Arabian Nights.
Pardon, Effendi. Your order. For you, our best coffee. Black, thick, and hot. And for you, Effendi, Khalid. Milk. Pure and sweet from the cow.
Well, congratulations, old chap. Getting that milk must have been a minor miracle in this place. What do we owe you?
Nothing, Effendi. It is with the compliments of the management.
That's mighty nice of them. Who arranged it?
The proprietor, Effendi. Abdul Hafiz Ben. That is he standing over there, near the stage door.
Well, we'll have to thank him. Jack.
Oh, yeah. Here, waiter.
Thank you, Effendi. May the blessings of Allah descend upon you, even unto the 10th generation.
Jack, that Hafiz Ben bloke. Do you see what I see?
You mean that brilliant green emerald in his turban?
Well, it must be 50 carats. Look where that stone is, sitting almost in the center of his forehead.
Yeah, a guy with an extra drink or two under his belt might almost think it was a third green eye.
Your surmise is quite correct, Mr. Parker.
Hello there.
Abdul Hafiz Ben is the man with the third green eye.
Well, our philatelist friend, Dimitro Touros.
Where'd you pop from, Touros?
Where does it matter, sir, as long as I am here?
Well, doesn't even wait for an invitation to sit down.
It is so nice of you to allow me to join you.
That napkin on the table in front of you says we didn't have much choice.
Sure. Is that an ugly little snub-nosed gadget you have hidden beneath it?
Be quiet. Only a 32 caliber, Mr. York, but it would be quite deadly at this distance. Well, gentlemen, shall we indulge in some friendly conversation?
What's the topic tonight, Taurus? As though I didn't know.
You have a fine sense of humor, Mr. Packard. A fine sense of humor. You are quite right, of course. I do wish to speak of the fourpenny stamp.
Oh, we don't mind, old boy.
Excellent. You realize, of course, that I want it, sir. I want it very badly.
Yeah, you proved that with your knife work on the train.
As a matter of fact, Mr. Packard, the poor fellow under the seat was already dead when I entered your compartment.
I said, would you mind informing Lieutenant Hudson of that? Would take us off a rather awkward spot, huh?
No. I do not think I shall bother. You see, I suddenly find myself academically uninterested in the two of you.
Meaning you found the stamp?
Let us say I know where it is, Mr. Packard. And before this evening is out, I shall possess it.
Well, bully for you. But why waste your time then with us? Lights are going down to the stage show.
Yes. The darkened cafe will be my cover as I remove the last obstacles in my pathway.
You know, Taurus, I think you mean something nasty by that remark.
You really, sir? Please allow me to clarify then. Within 60 seconds, you shall be both dead.
Say, that's an unhappy thought.
Yeah, it doesn't even give us time to catch the floor show. By the way, how's this going to happen?
You will notice, gentlemen, that the music grows louder. It will shortly reach a pitch where the sound of two shots will go entirely unnoticed. Two dead men at this table will seem to be merely two sleeping drunks.
I see. Devilishly clever idea, eh, Jack?
Very. Too bad we can't even enjoy this coffee.
Look out, you idiots! That coffee's gone!
Oh, sorry, Taurus. Let me wipe it up with
your napkin. Napkin? I'll kill you, Packard. I'll kill you.
Here, keep him propped against the table. Use this other chair.
Okay, Jack. Pull Dimitro. Shoots himself while his wife dances.
Well, better him than us. Okay, let's go.
Right up. Where?
Backstage, through that door. The way Abdul Hafiz bin went with his third green eye. So we can keep our promise to Dimitro Turris's new widow.
Say, are we going to hide in this backstage dressing room forever? Can you see?
Yeah, the two guards made up and dressed in Arab costume just admitted to Chinese and a fez-wearing Turk.
So that's a half dozen we've seen enter that room in the past 5 minutes. Looks like a belly meeting of the United Nations.
That's just what it is, Reggie, only these are international gangsters from all over the globe.
What's it all about, do you suppose?
I'd say Havisbin's holding an international auction sale.
You mean selling that stamp to the highest bidder?
Right. We've got to get in on the bidding.
Well, suits me just fine. Any suggestions as to how?
What's wrong with just leaving this dressing room, walking up to those guards and taking them?
Job, the direct approach. I love it. Let's go.
Wait till I check the cord. All clear, Reggie. Let's move.
Make it clean. No noise. You can depend on it.
Good evening, sir.
And a good evening to you, too, my friend.
What the hell? Right over my...
Nice work, Reggie. Now into the dressing room with them, quick. We'll put on their cafe costumes, borrow a bit of makeup, and two gentlemen from Araby will enter that auction.
$500,000.
I have heard a bid offer of $200,000. It is regrettable that the bidding should have started so low on such a fabulous deposit of connotites. However, the bid is in. Who will be the next offer for the stamp?
Sir, Jack, they've already started.
Yeah, move to the right. Those 2 feet apart there.
What's on here?
Now $300,000 have been offered. Who else wishes to enter the bidding for the stamp?
$100,000.
I say, these chaps mean business, all right.
Yeah, looks like there's only one chance for us. We got to win the bid.
Look here, Jack, we have no authorization to buy that stamp. Even if we have the money.
I know, but we have to outbid them just the same.
Look, you see where Havizman is standing?
Right, on that dais, right in front of those drawn curtains.
Check. That's where we go to pay off and collect the stamp. It's in that little box on the pedestal. Only we pay off Havizman with a gun butt instead of cash.
Fidget, keep talking. You please me no end.
I'll take care of Havizman. You grab the stamp box.
Where do we go from there?
Through those closed curtains. Must be a passageway behind them.
And if not, old boy? Oh, well, why dwell on that?
It is but a paltry sum to offer for great wealth and fortune. Who among you wishes to raise that figure?
Wahid, Malyu, and...
$1 million have been offered for the stamp. Who will be the next one?
1,100,000.
If Neon, Malyu, and...
Hit him over the head when he comes
down. It would seem that the sons of the prophet have a close appreciation of this stamp's worth. $2,000,000 have been bid. Who is there among you to surpass it?
Journey, yo, sell me.
2,100,000. And you, O noble chief.
Oh, come on, Jack, don't be a piker.
Salazar, Malyuan.
$3,000,000. The noble son of the prophet has offered $3,000,000. Who among you will surpass it? Is there anyone else with the foresight to bid? Then, gentlemen, the auction is over. Advance to the dais, O noble chief.
Here we go, Reggie. Let's make it short, sharp, and simple. Get set, never fear.
You are to be congratulated, noble ones. The stamp will be yours upon payment of the agreed upon sum in American dollars. A token payment now is to be desired.
Our thanks, Abdul Hafiz Ben. And here is the payment you request. Oh.
The stamp, Richie.
Got it, Jack.
Then let's go. Oh, I say, there is a passageway.
Well, then take it. Don't spare the horses.
Oh, said his robes weren't designed for speed.
There's a door ahead, if we can make it.
So, those beggars are really nasty. I mean to say, I should return their calling card.
Here.
Is there a bolt on it, Jack?
No, honey. A bar and a catch. Yeah.
Phew. Well, that should hold the biggest for a while.
Yeah, we're only 2 blocks from where we tied up the speedboat. Come on.
Joe, we got away with it.
Not yet, Reggie. Oh,
missed something?
You're forgetting a little rendezvous aboard a yacht with a dancing girl named Erdra and the chance of a great big final luscious double cross.
So, Jack Sackers, you did return as you said you would.
That's right, Edra. And there's the stamp you wanted to see.
The 4-penny stamp with its priceless information on the back.
See, it's not priceless now. It's been paid for in bloodshed. Besides that, we put a nice round figure of $3 million on it.
Bloodshed? Did you say bloodshed?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Mr. Packard, whose blood?
The agent whose body we found under our seat on the train, for one...
That's not who Mr. York meant.
Your husband?
The Metro is dead.
Oh, look here.
You can assure me that my husband...
We were fighting over his gun in the cafe.
I don't care how. All I want to know is it true?
It's true, all right.
So, the Metro not only did not get the stamp with which to blow up the world, but he paid for his plotting with his life.
You seem happy about that.
Yes. I did not like the Metro for very long after I was so foolish as to marry him. But when I found out that he was plotting things more evil than the world has yet known...
So you really were working against him?
Not only him, but all like him. My father and my 2 brothers died at Tobruk, fighting on the side of free people against another gang of international gangsters. Take this stamp with its map for the Federation. To your 21 old men. Maybe it will work for happiness.
Good girl. If there's anything we can do for you... No?
Yes. There is one thing.
Oh?
Do not leave San Francisco too soon. Spend some time with me here on this yacht.
Uh-oh. Picture of Reggie York retiring on tiptoe.
He is a nice one, that Senor York. You understand, Senor Packard. I would like to forget so much of my past. Help me to forget. That would be good for me. And not too bad for you, no?
Not too bad at all.
Ah, yes. I have helped you to recover the stamp. Now I receive my reward. Oh, you are most generous, senor.
You have just heard I Love Adventure, a new Carlton E. Morse production featuring Michael Raffetto as Jack Packard and Tom Collins as Reggie York. Next week, incident number 9, entitled The Girl in the Street.
Truth is stranger than fiction. And this is the proof. This is Ripley's Believe It or Not. The grave of Lawrence Stern, one of England's most famous authors, does not contain his bones. The corpse was stolen by robbers 2 days after he was buried. Believe it or not. In a moment, I'll tell you about a real vote-getter. When the headlines blare about the smooth and shrewd doings of political leaders, it's interesting to remember one William Fitz Harding, who lived in 19th century England. Fitz Harding was a real vote-getter, handsome, sure of himself, a natural for the game of politics. In fact, Fitz Harding was so good, his efforts were rewarded by an earldom. Who made him an earl? His four brothers, whom he got elected to Parliament all in the same year. Believe it or not.
Ladies and gentlemen, Armour and Company takes you now to the movie capital of the world for Stars Over Hollywood. And today's special guest, Gene Raymond.
Welcome to Hollywood, home and workshop of the world's most glamorous people. Today and every Saturday, we bring you Stars Over Hollywood, dramatic stories of adventure and romance with Movieland's most fascinating personalities. Stories presented for your pleasure by Armour & Company. Armour, the familiar name millions of Americans recognize as the guarantee of fine quality foods. Stars Over Hollywood presents a dramatic radio play titled Dead on Arrival and starring Gene Raymond. And now it's time for...
Okay, Louie, drop that gun.
Oh, all right, Gene Raymond. Come out from behind that calabash. We know you.
Just getting into character for today's show, Frank.
First things first, Gene. What's this I've been hearing about Mask Productions?
Oh, that's my boy. Every time you say Mask Productions, I'll say Armour & Company.
All right, fair deal, Mr. Raymond. But seriously, I've been hearing some mighty nice things about the job you're doing as an independent producer-director.
Well, it's something I've always wanted to do, and I really think we've got some entertaining pictures coming up. Million Dollar Weekend was the first, and the next one is a comedy called The Captain and the Kid.
It sounds as though Mask Productions has a mighty exciting future.
And may I say the same for Armour & Company?
You may, Gene, but perhaps we'd better get back to today's play. But before we begin, I'd like to talk a moment about another exciting subject, pie.
And that's not only an exciting subject, it's a delicious one.
Right you are. Folks, the country's best pie makers agree it takes lard, the natural shortening, to make a pie crust that's really flaky and tender, to give it that old-time goodness. And now there's an entirely new kind of lard that makes the flakiest, the tenderest, the most delicious pie crust you ever tasted. It's Armour's sensational new pastry blend pure lard. The lard that needs no refrigeration, but stays fresh and sweet right in your kitchen cabinet. Yes, it's always at room temperature, so it's always ready to blend with other ingredients almost instantly. That means quicker, easier pie crusts. But even more important, it means better pie crusts. So order Armour Pastry Blend Lard today. Look for the green carton on your grocer's shelf. Try it. See if you don't make the flakiest, the tenderest, the most delicious pie crust you ever tasted. Now it's time for Dead on Arrival, starring Gene Raymond as Detective Sergeant Joe Greeley. Curtain going up.
Being a cop has one big advantage. When business falls off, you don't worry about it. Otherwise, it's the same as any other job. I've got a desk, a phone, and I work an 8-hour shift. Of course, I don't have a snazzy secretary like Sam Spade, but I got Murphy, the desk sergeant, downstairs. He lets me know when it's coffee time, or if somebody's been murdered. Oh, I've been drinking a lot of coffee lately. Yeah, Greeley speaking.
Joe, are you busy?
Yeah, trying to stay awake. The coffee hot?
Yes, but you're not attending coffee club this morning.
Huh?
I just got sad news. Somebody got bumped off.
Where?
1440 North Wallace Street, apartment 302, have you got it?
Yeah, I got it.
It's a DOA. The Proud Boys are on the way.
Okay, call the coroner.
Sure. Joe.
Yeah?
If, as a result of this unfortunate accident, there happens to be a vacancy in the building, well, the Mrs. and I...
Yeah, sure, Murph. I'll keep you in mind. Traffic was light that time in the morning, so I made good time. Had no trouble spotting the place. A patrol car was already double-parked outside, a big red light blinking on and off in the rear window. I pulled up behind it and got out. It was a fair-sized apartment house that has seen better days, a lot of them. Two yellow lights on either side lit up the entrance, and a dirty bronze sign told me it was the Walwood Manor, no less. I opened the door, and I was in. No lobby, no desk. Well, some people prefer it that way, I guess. There was a wide flight of stairs in front of me and a drive-yourself elevator on the left. I'm the timid type. I took the stairs. Must have been a nice, quiet murder. No signs of excitement on the way up. No people buzzing around in bathrobes. No doors open with heads sticking out. Maybe it was the kind of place where everybody had their own troubles. They didn't have to borrow anyway. I finally found some people up on the third floor. Three guys and a gal. Two of the men were cops. The other was something, I don't know what, but I guess women have a name for it. He was tall, wore a thin mustache, a hand-painted tie, and, of course, built-in shoulders. Then there was a gal. Not a bad-looking doll, but I didn't know her, and it was too late now. She was dead. She was lying on her side halfway through the door. She wore a silk robe held in place by a wide gold belt. Her hair was white blonde and long. Her face had a surprised look. Hello, darling.
Hi. Well, she's just like we found her, Joe. Happened about a half hour ago, 3 o'clock. Gloria Woods, 22 years old, got a sister named Sheila living upstairs, he says.
Who's he?
Russell Hardy. He's the, I was here, but I didn't do it type.
Well, maybe he's just modest. What do you know, Hardy?
Not much. How are things with you?
Oh, we're going to get along just fine. You got a story?
Sure.
Let's hear it.
Well, I drove Gloria home and,
From where?
The Sunset Club. We closed the joint 2 o'clock. Then I drove her home. I came up for a nightcap, and after a while, somebody knocked on the door. She opened it and got it between the eyes.
Go on.
Well, after the shots, I thought I heard her whisper something.
Very interesting. What did she whisper?
It sounded like Tony. Then she fell. I rushed to the door.
I bet you did.
But whoever did it was gone.
Yeah, naturally.
Now, look, I'm telling you just
sure,
the way...
Sure, sure. You know someone you don't like named Tony?
I know a lot of Tonys.
Name me one.
Why should I put anyone on the spot?
You already have. Come on, give.
You get paid for it. You figure it out.
A cagey type, huh? Well, there's only one thing wrong with your story, Hardy. It stinks. They'll be glad to see you down at headquarters.
Now, look here. I told you everything...
Shh. It's getting late. You want to wake the neighbors? Donovan, where's this sister hang out?
Up on the 5th, 505.
Okay, I'm going visiting. Don't let this guy get lost, will you?
Yeah, that's just like I was carrying him in my pocket, Joe.
I climbed up 2 flights of back stairs, made a right turn, a left, down 2 doors, and I was there. She took a long time to answer, but when she finally opened the door, I wasn't complaining. She was tall and wore a long blue robe, the kind a gal wears on a honeymoon, awful nice. I finally noticed her face. It had small features and full lips, but her voice was hard enough to cut diamonds.
Well?
Sheila Woods.
And you?
Sergeant Greeley, police department.
Police? We might have been such good friends.
What have you got against cops?
That's a good question. What's wrong?
It's about your sister.
She in trouble?
I don't know. What kind of a life did she used to lead?
Past tense?
Yeah. Murdered.
Who did it?
Tony.
Tony? He couldn't have. He was with me.
Well, maybe it's a different Tony. Which one are you talking about?
Tony Amato. What Tony are you talking about?
I'm not sure. Maybe he'll do.
See what I mean about cops?
Look, lady, I'm looking for a killer. What do you want me to do, advertise? Now, this Amato, is he the guy that owns the Sunset Club?
Yeah.
You're in the money. He was here tonight, huh?
He drove me home after the club closed.
How come you didn't go home with your sister? She was there.
They left before I was ready.
Tony a good friend of yours?
Good friend, that's all.
Was your sister a good friend of Tony's?
Used to be. They broke up.
Why?
She fell in love.
With Hardy?
Yeah. Big shot Hardy. The boy with ideas.
What kind of ideas?
Wrong ones, mister. All wrong ones.
So you play on Tony's side, huh? Okay, I'll tell him when I see him. Don't leave town. I may want to see you again. You're pretty. And then, too, I know you'll want to attend your sister's funeral. She was a candidate for the rap, all right, but I hope not for the DA's sake. With her shape, he'd have a tough time getting a conviction. When I got back to 302, I saw Patsy Kelly, the coroner, coming up the hall.
Joey, boy, how are you? I haven't seen you for a long time. Where's the body?
It was alive, it'd bite you.
Was alive, I wouldn't be here. Oh, shame, Joey, so young. Dead all right, not more than an hour. Autopsy will show cause of death, but I could make a guess. Hole in the head, I'd say. How about you? Okay, boys, get the pictures. Any leads, Joey?
Yeah, I got two. This big deal here called Russell Hardy. But he passed the ball, claims the girl named someone called Tony before she died. I got a possible fill-in for the last name, Amato.
Tony Amato. Couldn't happen to a nicer guy. Ex-bootlegger, ex-racketeer going straight now. Runs a combination bookie, gambling, and clip joint out on the right side of the tracks. And he's got friends. He'll be a tough one to crack unless somebody saw him do it. Anything I can do to help?
Yeah, I got a call to make. When you get downtown, dig up anything you can on Hardy, will you?
Sure thing. Joy boy, always wanted to be a detective. Never could have made it, though. My feet aren't flat enough. That's a hot one, isn't it?
Who is it?
Greeley, police department.
What do you want?
Amato. Come on, open up.
You got a warrant, maybe?
Don't start acting cute. He's in a jam.
Tony don't feel so good. Come back later.
Later, I'm busy. I'll see him now.
This might cost you, copper.
Let me worry about that, Junior. Hello, Amato.
What do you want?
Some answers. Let's start with where were you tonight?
What's the rap? I might talk.
Murder?
No dice. I was doing something else.
Like what?
It's funny, but right now I don't remember. But it'll come to me.
Okay, let's try another one. You know Gloria Woods?
Sure, who doesn't?
She opened the door for the wrong party tonight. She caught two right between the eyes.
Too bad. She was a good customer.
We're holding Russell Hardy for it.
Yeah, business ain't bad enough. I got to lose two customers.
Quit bluffing, Amato. She fingered you before she gave up.
How?
Is that important?
No. You're wasting your time. Danny was with me all night. Did you see me shoot anyone, Danny?
No, boss.
Is this your alibi, Amato? A cheap kid punk like this?
Look, pal, you don't want to...
You shouldn't talk like that about Danny. He's sensitive.
With that face, he ought to be.
Okay, smart guy. You pushed your way in here, now push your way out.
Go away, Junior. You're bothering me.
Okay.
Danny. Anything else, Greeley?
Yeah, what's there about you that Hardy doesn't like?
You can't please everybody, can you?
Why would he throw a murder rap your way?
Did he?
Look, you don't get the idea. I want answers, not questions. Want to take it from the beginning?
I'm not interested. You haven't got a thing, and I've got Danny.
That alibi's worth about 4 cents on the black market.
Try to break it. If you can, we'll do business.
Okay. Okay, Amato. Maybe Hardy's got something to add. If anything breaks, well, you'll be around, won't you?
I'll be around a lot longer than you are, Greeley.
Good night, copper.
So long, punk. You know, Tony, I could probably get you for contributing to the delinquency of a minor. I should have gone right downtown to dig in the files. Instead, I sat in the car for a minute trying to think up my own answers. That was a mistake. I hadn't even gotten to the $2 question when the back door opened, a miniature rat climbed in and pushed a gun in my neck.
Keep both hands on the wheel. Keep looking straight ahead, and maybe you won't get hurt.
I couldn't see anything but the top of his head in the rearview mirror, but that voice was enough. Amato isn't getting any smarter these days.
They don't have to. Get going.
This washes you up in this town.
Not me, pal. I got an alibi. I ain't even here. Get going.
Sure, pal. There were two ways to play it. Stall and wait for a break, or make your own break. I'm the impatient type. I slammed it in gear.
Hey, not so fast, pal. You want to get a ticket?
I got friends that'll fix it.
I told you, not so fast, pal. Now slow down.
You made a sucker play. Now you're stuck with it.
You won't look good with a hole in your neck.
I'm doing 55 now, Danny. It'll go 90. This crate is speedy, but it's not built strong. If I hit anything, it'll fold up like a wet Dixie cup. You get the idea? Up to 70 now. If I don't pick up a patrol car at this speed, there just ain't no law in this town.
You gonna slow up, or do I let you have it?
Now try again, Danny. We'll both be dead either way. You want to give up? Throw the gun in the front seat, Danny.
Greeley, so help me, I'll blast you.
There it is, Danny. Now you know what trouble is. Throw the gun in the front seat. You're too young to die.
Okay, copper, you ask for it. You want speed. Give it everything you got.
He jammed the gun in my neck as hard as he could. I got a glimpse of him in the mirror. He was biting his lips, and his face was the color of a tequila hangover. I figured maybe I was pushing my luck too far. He looked like he was losing control. I eased the wheel over to the right, then yanked a sharp left and ducked fast. The motion threw him off balance. The shot went wild. I straightened out and jammed on the brakes. He fell forward. I grabbed for his gun arm, but I missed.
Okay, pal, try this for size.
My head spun around a couple of thousand times and flew off into space. I needed that head, so I made like an arrow and took out after it. I got to 80,000 feet and must have run out of oxygen, because that's the last I remember.
The curtain falls on Act One of Dead on Arrival, starring Gene Raymond. In just a moment, he'll be back in Act Two. When you hear the expression, easy as pie, do you ever wonder, what's so easy about pie, especially the crust? How do you go about making pie crust that's flaky and tender? Well, as a matter of fact, it is easy when you make your pie crust with lard, the natural shortening. Yes, easy as pie will take on new meaning for you when you follow the example of the country's best cooks. Listen to the women whose pies win prizes at county fairs. So many of them agree it takes lard, the natural shortening, to make a pie crust that's really flaky, tender, full of flavor. But now there's an entirely new kind of lard that's a revelation to these cooks, for it makes the flakiest, the tenderest, the most delicious pie crusts you ever tasted. It's the new sensational Armor Pastry Blend Pure Lard. The lard that needs no refrigeration, but stays fresh and sweet in your kitchen cabinet. Yes, it's always at room temperature, so it blends almost instantly with other ingredients. And right here is the secret of the marvelous results it gives you. For as every good cook knows, the quicker the blending, the better the pie crust. And you get still another advantage when you use Armor Pastry Blend Pure Lard. You see, Armor Lard comes to you in the handy self-measuring carton that enables you to use just the amount you need. So, for delicious pies, for better biscuits, for all sorts of baking, use Armor Lard. Look for the distinctive green 1 or 3 pound carton of Armor Pastry Blend Pure Lard on your grocer's shelf. It's more proof that the best, and nothing but the best, is labeled Armor Star. Here's Act Two of Dead on Arrival, starring Gene Raymond as Sergeant Greeley.
When I came to, I was lying on my back on a sidewalk. A guy in a white coat was bending over me, and a couple of cops were standing nearby. It was awfully bright out, so bright it hurt. I decided not to look anymore.
He's coming out of it.
Somebody started tapping me on the cheek. I tried to roll with the punches, but they kept on coming. Pretty soon, I was sure my head would bust, but it didn't. It just got bigger. Okay, okay, champ. I give up. You win.
How do you feel, Greeley?
Oh, great. Have the boys play a rumba. Oh, somebody turn out those lights.
Here, put your hat on. That might help.
Oh, that little hat isn't big enough. Oh. Did you catch that mug?
Sorry, Joe. He's an eel. Just slipped away.
Did you get close enough to see him?
No, it was too dark. What did he look like? We'll put it on the radio.
A weasel who smells like a skunk and is crazy like a fox. Lay off, boys. He's mine. I'm going to make a pet out of him.
Hello?
Yeah, Greeley speaking.
Joey boy, where have you been? People are looking for you.
That makes us even, Patsy. I'm looking for people.
Not the same people, I'll bet. Lieutenant Sloan and Ballard.
Ballard, what's that cheap shyster want?
He's got a tie-in with a martyr yelling his head off about illegal entry.
Mm-hmm. He's got a point there. What about Hardy?
He's new out here, but he's got a name for himself. Back east, picked up 12 times, no convictions.
He knows people.
Not only knows them, he works for them. His boss is Mari Caliandro. Same business as a martyr runs out here, but on a bigger scale.
That makes sense.
Hardy lied to you, Joe. Gloria Woods couldn't have made a sound after that first bullet hit her. Killed her instantly.
Right.
Second shot was a waste of time. Tell whoever did it, it was nice shooting.
I'll recommend the medal. Did they find the gun?
Nope, looked everywhere, but it didn't turn up. What do you think, Joey? Any of that a help?
With what I've got to work on, anything's a help. I'll see what... I got company, Patsy. I'll call you later.
Okay, Joey boy. So long.
Hello, Greeley.
What do you want, Ballard?
You don't look so good.
I've been sapped with a gun butt. What's your excuse?
Don't tell me the great Greeley Cotton. Too bad.
If you got something to say, say it.
A little matter of forcing your way into Amato's apartment this morning.
He was shy.
When he hears about it, the commissioner isn't gonna like it.
Yeah, Greeley speaking.
Joe, this is Sloan.
Oh, hello, Lieutenant.
Where have you been, Joe?
Investigating a murder.
Yeah, that's nice. You getting anywhere with the case, Sergeant?
Maybe.
Maybe? Listen, Greeley, ever since I set foot in this place this morning, all I've heard is your name.
Oh.
I'm trying to run a nice legal police department. Yeah. You went to school, didn't you? You know we got rules, don't you?
Yes, sir, Lieutenant.
Well, use them. Look, Joe, I'm with you on a motto, but you got to play smart. I'll go along with you as far as I can, Joe, but I'm only a lieutenant. I can't stall the commissioner much longer. An hour.
An hour?
Best I can do, Joe. Think fast.
Thanks. Thanks a lot.
You got troubles, Greeley?
What do you want, Ballard?
What have you got against Amato?
He's mixed up in the murder, his friends play too rough, and he's got shifty eyes.
You're not playing this very smart, Greeley. Tony has friends in this town.
I know. I met one of them.
They're big friends, Greeley. Friends who know people. You're trying to pin a murder rap on Amato, you better have nothing less than eyewitnesses to make it stick.
I'll start working on that right now.
You'll be wasting your time. Tony didn't do it. Why don't you get smart, Greeley? Look, if you lay off Amato, I might forget all about seeing the commissioner this morning.
Tony wants to make a deal?
Just common sense.
What's he afraid of?
Not a thing. Just doesn't like publicity. How about it?
I don't know. I gotta make a call first. Hello. Hello, this is Greeley. Send up Russell Hardy, will you? What? How long ago? A half hour? Who got him out? Oh, thanks. So you're Spring Hardy. Any special reason?
Tony wanted to see him.
Why?
They're old friends.
Yeah, I bet they got a lot to talk about.
Just a minute. What about our deal? You haven't got much time.
Yeah, I'll make a deal, but I'll deal direct with Tony. I want better terms. Maybe I should have waited till I was sure, but I didn't have the time. The commissioner is a very difficult man to convince, and I always wanted to be a policeman. So I took what I had and put together the best package I could. All I needed was someone to buy it. With nothing to lose, I headed for the Sunset Club. It cost me 15 minutes to get there. The place looked like it had a recession. It was deserted except for a bartender who was busy polishing glasses. I showed him the badge. Armando here?
Armando? Well, he said...
I haven't got time. Yes or no will do it.
Yeah, in the office.
Thanks. I walked to a door marked private and pushed it open. He was there, all right, sitting behind a large desk, smoking a big cigar. Hardy was there, too, slumped in a chair, practically out. Even his shoulder pads were drooping. Danny was standing over him, grinning like a sadistic weasel.
Don't you ever get invited anywhere, Greeley?
I'm giving the party a motto.
Listen, pal, I thought I told...
What do you want, Greeley?
I heard you want to make a deal. Let's talk.
I'm listening.
The way Ballard tells it, you'll let me off the hook down at headquarters if I forget your name.
Yes, that's good enough.
Not for me, it isn't, Amano. I gotta make a living, too. Throw in Danny, and it's a deal.
Danny?
Sure. He slugged me this morning, and that's against the law.
You're crazy. He was with me all night.
That gag is all washed up. Two cops got close enough to make a positive identification.
Danny, you told...
He's nuts. They never got near me.
Bluffing again, Greeley.
They'll identify him, smell and all.
Look, pal, I'm getting tired
Keep
of you.
Out of this, Danny.
That changes things, doesn't it, Amato? The kid's through.
Look, Greeley. You can do yourself a lot of good by forgetting about Danny and concentrating on Hardy.
Still trying to pin the rap on Hardy, huh?
Now, why should I do a thing like that?
Well, Hardy had big ideas. He was trying to move in on you. You had to get rid of him.
I did?
Yeah, but you just couldn't have him knocked over. His connections were too good. You had to make it fancy so it'd look fine to the boys back east.
Greeley, sometimes...
So you frame him for murder and let the stake take care of him. That way word gets around that Tony is still plenty smart.
Greeley, you...
You shouldn't have used the kid for the job, Tony. He hasn't had enough experience.
Tony, let me get it to him.
You're selling something, Greeley. What is it?
I want Danny. I want him for assault and I want him for murder. And if you're smart, you'll turn him in.
Tony, give me the knot.
Let the kid take the rap. He's got it coming. Get yourself another boy. Maybe the next one will have some brains.
Tony, don't listen to him.
I told you to shut up, Danny. What makes you think you could make that stick, Greeley?
Just look at him. He's getting scared already. He ain't stable, Tony. I give him a half hour downtown, and he'll sing like a choir boy on Christmas Eve.
Tony, I would...
If you try to cover for him now, you'll buy yourself a lot of trouble. But if you're smart, you'll turn them in, cooperate with the authorities. They like that. You stay in the clear, and you and Hardy can work out your own deal.
You figure it nice, Greeley, but they're only words. You haven't got any proof.
No? They couldn't find the murder gun, Armando. Ask your little playmate if he was sap enough to use the one he's got with him now. Go ahead. Ask him.
Well, Danny... Well?
Tony, I...
Okay, Greeley. You made a deal. Get him out of here.
Tony!
What do you want me to do? Take the rap for you, you dumb kid? I thought you had some brains.
Oh, Tony, don't turn me
it's
in.
It's a deal, Greeley. Get him out of here.
I'm warning you. You better change your mind.
Don't be sap. Danny, put that gun away, you poor kid. You'll...
Okay, Danny boy. Drop it. I said drop it. A rat. A dirty double-crossing rat. He told me to do it, and then he turns me in. I ought to kill him.
I think you did. You're a sharp shooter, kid, but don't worry. You'll be seeing him again soon. Real soon. The next night, I was doing business at the same old stand. It was a dull night. I must have dozed off. I was dreaming that a great, big, beautiful, blonde secretary was sitting on my lap and... Hello. Greeley speaking.
Joe, are you busy?
Murphy. Yeah, I was busy. What do you got now?
Coffee.
Oh. Murphy, why aren't you beautiful and blonde? Never mind. I'll be right down.
And so the curtain falls on this week's Stars Over Hollywood show, Dead on Arrival, starring Gene Raymond. Before Gene returns for an encore, I'd like to tell you how you can rate encores in your own home. You know, most cooks have their own special dishes, but there's one basic specialty almost every good cook aims for: light, fluffy, golden brown biscuits. To score a real hit with your family, make your next batch of biscuits the sure way. Use Armour Pastry Blend Pure Lard. Then follow up with the dessert that's America's favorite. Yes, I mean pie. Give your pie that perfect finishing touch with the grand pie crust you get with Armour Lard. Try Marie Gifford's wonderful new three-step pie crust recipe, printed on every carton of Armour Pastry Blend Pure Lard. Look for the distinctive green 1 or 3 pound carton on your grocer's shelf today. Come on back here, Gene Raymond, and take a bow. You had me right on the edge of my seat.
Thank you, Frank. You know, I had myself scared there for a while.
That's what I call real acting.
Tell me, what's on the schedule for next week's show?
That's what's known as changing the subject, but it's a mighty nice subject.
Huh?
Blonde.
Yeah.
Charming.
Well, go on.
Peggy Ann Garner.
Oh, me, I've been waiting so long for her to grow up.
Well, while you're waiting, Gene, you can tune us in next Saturday morning and hear Peggy Ann do This Is Violet.
You can count on that, Frank, but now I got to get back to work, so thanks for listening, everybody. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Gene Raymond, and thank you for a very enjoyable show. Don't forget, next Saturday, Stars Over Hollywood brings you Peggy Ann Garner. The following week, our star is Una Merkel, and then come Chester Morris and Don DeFore. So be sure and be listening every Saturday for Armour & Company's Stars Over Hollywood. Today's script was by Robert Marlowe, special music was by Del Castillo, and direction was by Paul Pierce. Folks, have you heard the news about the big Dash contest? Dash Dog Food is giving away 5,306 prizes worth over $21,000 just for naming a puppy. Think of it, a real Palomino pony with complete riding outfit, or $1,500 cash, motor scooters, bikes, wristwatches, thousands of valuable prizes. But don't delay. Ask your grocer for Dash entry blanks and full details today. And remember, Dash is the armor dog food, and it's fortified with liver. And now for Armour & Company and the Stars Over Hollywood show. This is Frank Goss reminding you to be sure and listen next Saturday when our star is Peggy Ann Garner. And be sure to tune in CBS every weekday afternoon when Armour & Company presents Hint Hunt. Stay tuned now for the Tony program, Give and Take, which follows immediately over most of these stations. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That's going to do it for another episode of the Relic Radio Show. I'll be back next Tuesday with more. There's more old-time radio every day at relicradio.com. You'll find past episodes of this show, links to all the other podcasts, and links to everything else Relic Radio. Our forum, Facebook page, Shoutcast stream, Twitter, Google+, our wiki, and our donate button if you'd like to help support this and all the shows. Thank you very much to those who have, and thanks for joining me today. I'll be back next week with another hour of old-time radio on the Relic Radio Show.